Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Maseches Kiddushin, as its name implies, has to do with Kiddushin. And what's Kiddushin? The marriage of a woman to a man. The Mishnah that opens our Masichta, we feature on the side with a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Hadrochim Shebehem Isha Miskadeshes. The thrust of the Mishnah, and there's additional information beyond this in the Mishnah, however, it deals primarily with the methods with which the marital bond is established. In traditional Jewish law, marriage is actually accomplished in two stages. One, the first is called erusin, also referred to as kiddushin, and the consummation of the marriage is referred to as nisuin. We're going to be interested primarily in the first stage, what establishes the marital bond at the first stage, at which point the woman becomes a married woman, even though the husband will not live together with her as husband and wife because they haven't reached nisuin yet. Nowadays, this differentiation is almost imperceptible because we do the kiddushin, the erusin, and the nisuin under the marriage canopy. In other words, almost simultaneously. But as far as the Gemara, the Talmud approach to marriage, you find them as two distinct stages. We have several markings in the Mishnah. You'll notice a bow tie that's around the very first word, and that bow tie highlights under the Mivneh, the structural note on the side of the Gemara, we've written Havlotas Ho'isho Hayavoma. The Mishnah will be presenting the case of a standard marriage. That's Roman numeral number 1. And later in the Mishnah, Hayavoma, the levirate marriage, will be presented. And for those who are not familiar with Yibum, very simply, it's a situation where a man dies leaving no children, but he leaves his widow, and he also is survived by a brother. The Torah expects the brother, the surviving brother, to marry his sister-in-law, the widow. That's called Yibum. And the Yibum marriage is featured in the Mishnah as well. Additionally, you'll notice diamonds. The diamonds highlight the expressions Niknes v'Kines Atzmo. We'll say these are essentially opposite ideas. Niknes refers to the establishment of the marital bond. Kina es atzma is a reference to literally her acquiring herself, her gaining independence from her husband. That is featured here as well. So we have the phenomenon of nikneis and kina es atzma both in the realm of isha, the irregular marriage, and you have that as well. And you can see that by looking at the markings. You have that by the avoma as well. Now we turn to the text. Ha'isha nikneis b'shloisha drachim. People often translate the term nikneis in this context as the woman is acquired. As of this recording, some people find that politically incorrect. Because acquisition gives one the sense of buying and selling as you would any chattel. And truth be told, a man in marrying a woman is not buying her per se. He's not buying her body. We don't refer to that as a kinyan haguf, as opposed to the case, let us say, of a bondmaid, which you would say there is a kinyan haguf. We're dealing here with a marriage. So if you prefer, instead of saying acquired, the term nikneis in the context of marriage has to do with establishing the marital bond. How is the bond established? So the Mishnah says she's nikneis b'shloisha drachim. There are three methods. V'kina es atzma, and she acquires her own independence b'shtei drachim. Two ways. And here we go with the first group of nikneis b'kesef b'shtar ubabia. Through kesef, through the man paying her money in exchange for her acceptance of marriage. Bishtar is writing a document in which it says Hare at mikudeshes li. The paper itself doesn't necessarily have any value, or as Rashi says, afapishena shavet pruta. Nevertheless, giving a document like that to her would establish a marriage. If that reminds anyone of a get, of a divorce, you're not far off, because in fact the laws of Gittin and the laws of Kiddushin are derived from one another. That's a gzera shava that you find throughout the Shas, the yotza v'hoisa. And the third method, ubabiyah, through intimacy. A man says to a woman, let me have intimacy with you for the purpose of establishing a marriage. Later we'll see that although this is a Torah accurate law, meaning the Torah sanctions that, in practice one would not do that. And that will be featured later in the perek. We have a few lines in brackets, and the note on the side, we have a double-starred note, and we read as follows. Let's read our note. Tam l'sagraim, the reason for this bracketed section is sagraim eluhem l'shem dilug. That's for initial skipping. Kedei l'sayim, in order to complete kedem beforehand, let's complete es harishima shel hakinyonim, the lists of bond establishment or breaking. Besocha sograim muva machloikis beishami b'sildin in schuma kesef hadorish lekinyan ish lekinyan kesef. Within the brackets, we will present a machlokes, a disagreement between beishami silo regarding the amount, the minimum amount of money needed to establish a marriage through the kesef, through the money means. When we speak about money, we don't limit ourselves to cash, but cash or something of cash value. So, as we read the Mishnah, we read a list. We read, just the last phrase we read was nikneis, bekesef, b'shtar b'biya, and if you skip the brackets, it says v'kines atzmo, and she acquires her independence, beget, uvamises abal, get being a divorce document, or becoming a widow through the death of her husband. Now, as we said, in the brackets, the Mishnah presents a machlokes regarding the topic of kesef. Bekesef, beishamai omrim, we're reading within the brackets, beishamai says, bedino v'shavetino, the minimum amount that establishes a marriage is a dinar, or shavadina, something the value of a dinar that the man would give to the woman in exchange for her accepting his offer of marriage. Beis Hillel says a much significantly less amount is sufficient. But pruta is a copper coin in contrast to the dinar, which is a silver coin. Or ubeshavet pruta. V'kamahi pruta, how much is a pruta? How do we establish the value of a pruta? Well, we tell you, echod mishmoina be'isre talki. Let's just assume that the talki was the Italian isar, which was a silver coin, was a known value. So we say, the Mishnah says, 1/8 of an isar talki, this silver coin, is the value of a pruta. V'koina es atzma beget uvamisas habal. She acquires her independence through the husband divorcing her or through the husband's death. Hayivoma niknes bebia. The yibum marriage is limited to intimacy. The halacha, when you go through sugyas dealing with this, we discover that there is something called a yibum bond. That sister-in-law and brother-in-law are already bonded to a certain degree, so that all that's really necessary to consummate that bond is bia. V'kina es atzma b'chalitza v'misas hayavam. She, the yavama, gains her independence if she didn't consummate the marriage as a yavama, meaning in a case that there was no bia, she still was waiting for the brother-in-law, but he decided not to marry her. So the breaking, the disconnecting, the breaking of that yibum bond is b'chalitza uvamisas hayavam, either through chalitza, the shoe removal ceremony, whereby she removes a shoe from his right foot, and there's rekika, there's spitting, and there's passages that are recited, or through simply the yavam's, the brother-in-law's, death. And at that point, she then is freed to marry whomever she wants. Before we go into the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, Lama poi kotone ha'isha niknes, u'beperek sheni ha'ish mekadesh. We're going to be dealing with issues of language, phrasing, choice of phrases, immediately and throughout the rest of today's shiur. So the initial question is, why does the first parak of Kiddushin open with the expression Ha'isha Niknes? A woman is, we'll use the term acquired simply out of convention, but we already issued our disclaimer earlier regarding that word. So Ha'isha Niknes is the way our parak opens, and when you turn to the second parak, which also deals with the issue of establishing marital bond, but there it says Ha'ish Mekadesh. The emphasis is on the man taking the initiative, and a different word is used, the word Mekadesh. So we have to, when in effect both Mishnayos, the first beginning of the first parak, beginning of the second parak, dealing with the same concept of establishing a bond. What alternative would you suggest? What else could it have said? So that will be the subject of the Gemara. The Gemara opens. Ha'isha niknes. Maishna hocha detoni ha'isha niknes. Why is that the term chosen over here at the opening of the Masechta, the first perek? Maishna achsam. And what's different about the second perek? Detoni ha'ish mekadesh. The suggestion is, let it say over here, Ha'isha miskadeshes. Use the same word as you use over there. The Gemara answers, and you'll note that this is a long answer. We have to read all the Gemara till the top of Omid Beis, top line of Omid Beis, to appreciate what is being said. So the Gemara says, Mishum dekaboi lemisni kesef. It was necessary to teach Kesef in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah needed, part of its agenda was to teach the different methods of establishing the bond, and one of the methods is through Kesef. There's a point in Rashi, the second line from bottom. You'll notice there is a star that we have put in the Rashi to make it easier to find. It says there, Mishum dekaboi lemisni Kesef. The Mishnah needed to teach Kesef, a kesef minolon, and how do you know that kesef works? Yalfinon lei lekamon mikicha kicha mikicha, from the word kicha, v'kicha loshen kinyon hu. The term kicha that you find in the Torah is an expression of acquisition. Hilchoch toni, therefore, it taught in this Mishnah not miskadeshes, but niknes, ho'isha niknes. So now let's see this in the Gemara text. we were asking, once again, we're just repeating ourselves, why does the Mishnah not say Ho'isha Miskadeshes and rather says Ho'isha Niknes? Mishum dekaboi lemisni kesef. Our Mishnah needed to teach as a method of acquisition kesef. For kesef minole, and this is presented rhetorically here. The Gemara later on Daf Gimel Amid Beis actually asks this question in an inquiring fashion. Here, the Gemara states this as a given. For kesef minole, and kesef, how do you know that kesef works? Gomar kicho kicho mistei Ephron. There's a comparison of the words kicho that you find here in the case of marriage, and the word kicho found in the context of Avram Avinu, our patriarch Abraham, acquiring the area that contained the Maaseh Machpelah, which referred to, the Gemara here refers to as Stei Ephron, the fields of Ephron. And in both psukim, you find a similar word. You find a word whose root is kach, kicha, as with acquisition. And if we skip the brackets momentarily, for kicha, ikri, kinyan. When we speak about acquisition, the Torah uses the word kana. Hence, the Mishnah having in mind as one of the methods of acquisition kesef, and kesef is derived from psukim in which kicha slash kinyan is referred to. Hence, the Mishnah uses the word niknes. Now that we presented the Gemara, let's go over it again with the brackets. Kesef, we said, is derived from the kesef is an effective means of establishing a marital bond, is derived through a gzeira shava. You see, the Torah doesn't say in any explicit way that marriage is established through money. So how do you know that marriage can be established through money? Because of similar words you find in two different contexts. And that's what the Gemara means when it says Gomar kicha kicha mistei Ephron. And the sources for that are right now in the brackets. Ksivacha ki ikach ishisha. This is the pasuk that teaches the establishment of a marital bond. Uksiv hasam nosati kesef hasodeh kach mimeni. There, Abraham is talking to Ephron and saying, I have given you the money, the value of the field, kach mimeni, take it from me. And the kicha, so what do we see over here? We see that just like kicha by the sodeh involves kesef, so too kicha ki ikach ishisha involves kesef. The kicha ikri kinyan dichtiv, referring to the same transaction of the stay Ephron, the pasuk in Bereishis Perek Memtes says, "Hasodeh asher kana Abraham." So, with our markings, what we've tried to do with the dashed underlining is show a connection between kana and kach leads us back to marriage, ki kach ish isha, so that the term kana is through association. It's like if it's as if saying A equals B and B equals C. Through association, kona is the appropriate term when you're dealing with a transaction, with an acquisition, a bond established through kesef. The Gemara suggests an alternative pasuk at the top of Amud Beis, inami. So we continue here at the top of Amud Beis to show that the term kinyan is associated with kesef. There's another pasuk, sodos bat kesef yiknu. So in that pasuk you see, kesef is associated with the word kinyan. Therefore our Mishnah opens with ho'isha niknes. And once again, you can see with our dashed underlining, we're trying to enhance the connection between kesef and kinyan, niknes. Triangles appear, and on the side of the Gemara we have under our mivnendor, under our structural note, the following. Sidrus shel hatzaos l'shanois loshana mishnayis. We have a series of suggestions whereby the Gemara will be suggesting alternative phrasing for these mishnayos. We have our Mishnah Ishnei Niknes and the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak, Ha'ish Mekadesh, which, as we said already, means that a man marries a woman. So two mishnayos dealing with the establishment of the marital, the establishing of a marital bond. The Gemara asks, second line from the top, the nisni hosam ha'ish koneh. Right now, the Gemara is focusing on the text of the second perek opening. You will notice the next triangle, two lines from here, v'nisni hocha ish kine, where the focus will turn on our Mishnah. So in the meantime, once we've established that it was necessary for our Mishnah at the beginning of the first perek to feature the word niknes, why then, in the second parak, does the Mishnah not use the same term and state, let's read the Gemara again from the beginning of the line, V'nisni hosam ho'ish koine, instead of mekadesh. The Gemara answers, Me'ikara toni lishna da'iraisa, ulebasof toni lishna da'rabona. The Mishnah gave precedence to Torah language by using the word niknes at the opening of the first parak, right over here. We mentioned that the word niknes is found in psukim. We saw kesef, sodos bakesef yiknu, or as we saw at the bottom of Omen Aleph, hasoda shekono Abraham. So the word niknes, having as its root kono, is a Torah word. And, of course, we mean in the context of marriage and kesef acquisition. So the word nikne, in that context of marriage bond establishment through kesef, that's a Torah word. So we gave it preeminence, stating it at the beginning. However, there's also a rabbinic use, a rabbinic word, the word mekadesh, and the Gemara asks now, umay lishna derabbanan, what's the basis of that rabbinic expression that describes the marital bond? Why do the rabbis decide to use the word mekadesh, which is often associated with sanctification of sacrifices? A person's makdish an animal to serve as a sacrifice. That's a very common use of the word. So why did the Rabbanan choose to use that word in the context of establishing a marital bond? The Gemara answers, the osar lo akule alma kehektish. Through establishing a marital bond, the woman that prior to the marriage could have married anyone, subsequent to the marriage, she is now forbidden to all other men other than the husband himself. In that sense, it's very similar to the sanctification of an animal, that prior to its sanctification, it was called chulin. It could be used for any purpose. Subsequent to its sanctification, it becomes restricted. It becomes belonging only to the Almighty, so to speak, only to the Beis HaMikdash. So you see this idea of pre-hektish allowance, post hektish restriction. The Gemara continues, V'nisni hocha ha'ish koine. Why not state in our Mishnah here in the first parak, instead of the woman being acquired, put the emphasis on the man as doing the acquiring, establishing, he's actively establishing the bond, he takes the initiative. So why does it not say ho'ish koine? Answer. Mishum de koboi lemisna seifa v'koine es atzma bidida tonanami resha bidida. Since in the continuation of our Mishnah, if you want to use the markings, so you notice we had diamonds, and the second diamond in the Mishnah had stated the klima es atzmo beget uvamisas abal. So since the continuation of the Mishnah was focusing on the woman, koine es atzma, whereby she acquires her independence, the focus is on the woman, koine, koino, she acquires her independence. Therefore, tona nami reisha b'dida, the Mishnah wants to focus on the woman as well in the reisha in order to maintain this a balance in structure. The Gemara asks, "Venisni ha'ish kaine umakne." This is a bit abbreviated, but once again, why do we insist on the language that we have? Why not have our Mishnah say, "Ha'ish kaine," the man acquires in three ways, umakne, and he grants her independence in two ways. The Gemara says that would be inaccurate. Mishum diika misas abal. The woman gaining her independence, we mention, is through two methods. Through a divorce, a get, okay, there the husband is proactive. However, the second method was his death, misas habal, delav ihu ka'makni. It is not he who is granting her independence through anything proactive on his part. He's not makne, implies something proactive. That's not true when he dies. Min shmayahu de makni law. It's through heaven. Heaven decided that the husband must expire, so heaven is granting her independence in that sense. So the Mishnah could not have stated that in focusing on the man, although in the Reisha, in the beginning of the Mishnah, that could have been said. It would have been inaccurate to say that in the Sefer that the man is makne. Therefore, as we said before, the Mishnah focuses on the woman, and she is presented in the non-proactive fashion, in the passive sense. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. We say the woman is passive. She has to, in terms of establishing the marital bond, she must express her acceptance of it, but the man is taking the initiative. Hence, the Mishnah focuses on the woman because of the Seifa, where it would not have been accurate to say ha'ish makne. Therefore, it says the isha kaina es atzma, she acquires her independence through either the husband giving again or heaven deciding that she is to become a widow. Ve'i boyesema, another approach rejecting the last suggestion, itana kina, had the Mishnah said ha'ish kina es ha'isha b'shloisha drachim, if it would have said it like that, have amino afilu bal korcha, it would have given room to think that marriage can be established even against her will. Tana, therefore, the Mishnah says ha'isha niknes, which is clearer in this sense, the midaito in shelo midaito lo, through her approval, yes, that establishes a marriage, but without her knowledge, without her approval, lo, there is no marriage established. And now a new set of questions, a new emphasis on the side of the Gemara. We have a nosei / mivne heading, where we combine the topic heading with the structural note. If you skim ahead, allow your eyes to roam ahead a bit, you'll notice house shape markings. They appear in two different directions. Hamilah derech. What we're going to be looking into is the word derech. E loshon zocher o nekeva. The opening issue of the Gemara here is going to be, why did the Mishnah choose to use the word shalosh? It could have used the word shlosha. Shalosh is in the feminine form, and shlosha is in the masculine form. So why did the Mishnah choose the word shalosh in the feminine form? Tosfos adds, after all, throughout the Torah, you find the masculine form in a much more common appearance. The next marking that is featured on the side will be dealt with a bit later. So now we turn to the Gemara. Umay irya detoni shalosh. What caused the Mishnah to choose the feminine form shalosh three ways? Listeni shlosha. Say hoisha niknes be shlosha drachim. The Gemara answers, Mishum dekaboy lemisni derech. The Mishnah wanted to use the word derech, ways. The derech loshen ukevahu, dechtiv vahidata lohem es haderech yelchu bo. In this pasuk, you see the word haderech, the path, yelchu bo. Bo means in it, in the feminine form. So since the word derech was featured in the Mishnah, and that, or the word drachim is the plural form of derech, and that is at this point viewed as in the feminine form, so the number that matches or that's appropriate would also have to be in the feminine form. V'ela ha disnan. If it's really so that derech is losha nekeva, what about the following Mishnah? It says b'shiva. Now the word shiva is in the masculine form. B'shiva drachim boikin es hazav. Here you have shiva together with the word drachim. And the word drachim is introduced with the masculine number form. Nisni sheva, if as you claimed, the word shalosh in our Mishnah was because derech is in the feminine form, it should have said here sheva, b'sheva drachim boikim es hazav. Sheva being the feminine form. The Gemara answers, mishum dekaboy lemisni derech. The Mishnah there that dealt with Boikim es Hazav, which we didn't explain, we just read it as a source. But the topic there has to do with a certain kind of male emission that causes the man to become Tomei. There's seven different tests, so to speak, that a man subjects himself to, that he has to ask in order to establish whether he is really a Zav or not. It's not important for us at this point to get into the details of that. Rashi, in fact, does get into the details, but for our purposes, the man has to check himself out, has to ask himself a series of seven questions to establish or not whether he is a Zav or not. So the Mishnah there that deals with the man and his ziva, since drachim appears, and drachim is in the masculine form, that's what the Gemara is saying right now. Notice, of course, the inverted house marking. Let's read that phrase again. Mishum dekaboy lemisni derech. The word drachim is in the plural form. Va'ashichon derech deikri loshon zohar. And we find derech in the masculine form, dechtiv. B'derech echad yetsu elecha u'b'shiv'a drachim yonusu lefonecha. Notice the word shiva is in the masculine form together with drachim. So that is why the Mishnah that deals with boikin es hazav is introduced with the word shiva, the masculine form of seven. Well, if you're becoming a little confused, have no fear. The Gemara itself feels that way. Well, I hachi kashu kroy ahadodi v'kashio nami masnisin ahadodi. We have psukim that appear contradictory. We have the pasuk in Shmos Perek Yudches v'datlemes haderech hashiachu ba. There we've got derech in the feminine form. We've got this second pasuk dvarim perech of ches b'derech echo yisuchel v'shiva drachim yonus lefanecha, and there you have it in the masculine form. And the Tanaic sources, our Mishnah, has b'sholosh drachim, and the Mishnah there dealing with the Zav says b'shiv'a drachim. Our Mishnah giving you a number in the feminine form, and the Mishnah there in the masculine form. The Gemara answers. Now notice we have a long answer marking. We also have a double underline. The note on the side where the double underline is featured reads Yishuv Stiros, the resolution of what seems to be contradictions, b'psukim, b'mishnayis. Now the Gemara. Kroi ahadodi lo kasha. We pointed out already that this is a long answer. The psukim are not contradictory. Hacha, in the pasuk v'hoidato lohem, the betura koi, the pasuk is describing the Torah. The Torah ikri loshon nekeva. The Torah is described in the feminine form. Dechtiv, Torah Hashem tmima meshivas nafesh. It doesn't say, for example, Torah Hashem tomim, but tmima, that's in the feminine form. Therefore, kosav lo beloshon nekeva. Therefore, the pasuk in referring to the Torah and the derech uses the feminine form. Hasam debimulchama koi, the pasuk in Dvorim Perek Chav Ches, which read Bederech Echad Yetzu Alecha V'Shiva Drachem Yonusu Lofanecha, that pasuk was dealing with matters concerning war. The Darkah Shel Ish La'asos Milchama V'Ein Darkah Shel Isha La'asos Milchama. It's the way of men to wage war, not the way of women. Kosav Lo B'Loshen Zohar. Therefore, when Derech is a reference to war, it's described using the masculine form. Masnisan Adodi Lokashion, as far as the Tanaic sources are concerned, our Mishnah verses, the Mishnah in Maseches Zovin, are also not contradictory. Hocha de Legabi Isha Koi Kotoni Lobaloshan Nikeva. Here, where we are focusing on the woman, as we explained before. So the feminine form is most appropriate. Hosam, there you're dealing with a male emission, the case of Zav. Delegabi Ish Koi, there you're focusing on a man. Koi literally means standing. You're standing in the context, in the topic of a male. The Darka Shel Ish Libodek, Ve'en Darka Shel Isha Libodek, Deho Isha Nami Ba'oines Mitamo, it is the way of a man dealing with his emissions to establish whether or not he is defiled, whether he's tome, because there are certain instances where there may be an emission, but it's not going to result in defilement. And that is a function of the seven different questions, say self-imposed analysis that he must undergo, as Rashi explains earlier. That checking process is unique to a man with regard to male emissions, in contrast to a woman who has a different type of emission. She has a blood emission. The woman's defilement is imposed regardless of why she experienced the emission, the flow. With regard to a man, we're just repeating ourselves, with regard to a man, it does make a difference as to why or what circumstances there were before the emission. Not so in the case of a woman. So the source that was dealing with Boitkin has to do with the different questions. Rashi, we already referred to this Rashi a couple of times, fourth line from the top, Boitkin Zazav, B'maychol, through food, mishta, drink, b'choyli, ailment, b'masa, through carrying a burden, b'kvitza, jumping, mare, something visual, v'hirhur, impure thoughts, shema, machmas, echad mehem, ro'a. Might have been one of those seven phenomena that we just described, following which he had an emission. the onus hu, the tahar, that would not be those would not be a cause of defilement. Rashi describes it as onus. If he experienced, let's say he ate something, and then after the eating all of a sudden there was the emission. The emission is not something that he had any control over once he ate, or if he had carried something heavy and then had the emission. So after he carried the heavy thing, the emission was inevitable. That would not be the basis of defilement. Derachmon omar mibsoro me'elov v'lo machmas oines. Only if it comes on its own and not because of some kind of external factor. A woman, in contrast, becomes tamei even if it happened through ones, as the Gemara says in Maseches Nidah. Let's turn back to our Gemara. Since, with regard to the man, the idea of boikin, like we saw in the Rashi, is unique to the male, therefore the toni loshen zohar, therefore our Mishnah used the word that is, the Mishnah there in Zovin used the word Shiva in the masculine form. The Gemara continues. My taima toni sholosh mishum drachim. Why did our Mishnah use the feminine form? Well, because of the word drachim. Nisni dvorim v'nisni shlosha. The Mishnah could have just as well said b'shloisha dvorim. Ha'isha nitnes b'shloisha dvorim. Why the word derech? Why was that chosen? And furthermore, the word dvorim is a much more common expression. As Rashi says, ki urcha de gemara. That's the way of the gemara. The word dvorim. Dvorim is a very common word when you have lists presented in the Talmud. Of course, you noticed the bow tie marking. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. You noticed a bow tie. In fact, if your eye is, as we always recommend, skimming ahead, you'll notice quite a few of these. They continue onto Daf Gimel Omen Aleph. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei/Nivneh heading, we feature a bow tie, and we've written Sidra Shel Chamesh Shelos, series of five questions, Al Bechira Samilo Drochim, Bimkoim Dvorim, Bekama Mishnais, a number of Tanaic sources, and once again, if you skim ahead, you'll see quite a bit of framing of Gemara text. Of course, those are our Tanaic sources, where the less common word Drochim was chosen over the more common word Dvorim. So now let's return to our Gemara. Why did our Mishnah, we said our Mishnah chose the word shalosh because of the word drachim. It could have just as well chosen the word dvarim and state shlosha in the masculine form. And we can refer back to the Tosis that we cited earlier. The short Tosis in the middle of the narrow lines. Listen, shlosha pirush mishum dechol haTorah kula b'loshen zocher nemra. The Torah in general is presented in the masculine form. So the Gemara says, Mishum de kaboy lemisni bia. The Mishnah, as part of the list of ways that a marital bond established, mentioned bia. Bia is intimacy. Ubia ikri derech. Dechti v'derech gever ba'almo kein derech isha menefis. The word bia is referred to elsewhere by the term derech, as the pasuk in Mishle that we just read. We're not going to translate the pasuk, but suffice it to say that it says v'derech gever b'alma. That's to do with the way of men with maidens, with young women, and that is a reference to intimacy. The Gemara says, "Well, ha teinach bia." That's a justification for the word derech because of intimacy, one of the three methods. Kesef, Ishtar, Michael, and Meimar. What about the money and document method of acquisition? Where does Derech come into play with regard to those methods? The Gemara says, Mishum Biyah. In all due respect to Kesef and Ishtar, we chose to use the word Derech because of the presence of the bia method. The Gemara asks, "V'toni tarti otu chada?" Will the Mishnah teach two additional as a result of one? In other words, we're saying that that kesef and shtar, the two additional methods, are we'll say secondary in contrast to bia, which is given prominence. Is that a legitimate way of approaching things? If we look at Rashi, almost halfway down, V'toni tarti mishum chana b'tmiha, shino loshon kesef ishtar mishum bia, hoyo lo leilech achar harov. The majority, you have kesef and shtar, two of the three methods. You don't have reason to refer to them by the word derech or drachim. Drachim, the word derech was appropriate only for one of the three methods. So do you allow two to become secondary to the one to be all which is given preeminence? The Gemara answers, Hanoch nami tzorech bioninu. The kesef and shtar methods of acquisition are really ways in order to establish the marital bond, and part of a marital bond, say a major feature, a major aspect of marriage, is the right that the man and woman have to engage in intimacy. So they are methods that lead to intimacy. The kesef and or shtar are necessary. They're tzorech bia. They're necessary in order to allow the couple to engage in intimacy. Another explanation as to why our Mishnah uses the word drachim instead of dvorim is because our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon. Rashi says, "Homoni t'toni loshem derech b'kiddushi isha." Rabbi Shimon he d'omar urcha de'ara shayech behu. Urcha de'ara means the way of men, the common behavior. Rashi, that will become much clearer as we go on in the Gemara. D'sanya, Rabbi Shimon oimer mitnei ma omro toro ki kach ish isha v'lo kosav ki tilokach isha le'ish. Why does the Torah present marriage focusing on the man in a proactive form? Ki yikach ish isha, when a man literally takes a woman. Why does it not say when a woman is taken unto a man? Answer, mitnei she darkoi shel ish. Now we've dashed underlined the word darko. Rashi referred to this before in the Aramaic, urcha de'ara, it's the way of men. And hence, our Mishnah uses the word derech. It's the way of people. The way is English, darko, derech, that's in the Hebrew. It is the common way, it's the custom for a man to seek out a woman. And it's not the common way, the custom of a woman to seek out a man. Moshal lo adam she'avda lo aveda. The analogy is to a person that lost an article. Mi chozer al mi, who seeks out whom? Bal aveda mechazer al avedoso. The owner of the lost article seeks out the item, and the analogy reflects back on the original, we'll say, story of creation, where Adam had an appendage removed from his body, and from that the woman was formed. So the man is described as now missing something. So he is, in the subsequent generations, the man is seeking out that which was taken from him, that which he lost, so to speak. So at this point then, we've explained our Mishnah Each word has a reason for why it appears in the Mishnah in its given, in its current form. We continue with other sources. V'hadisnan b'shiva drachim b'itim es azav. We, of course, referred to this source earlier today. Listen, dvarim. Why does it not say in that Tanaic source, the seven dvarim, the man checks himself out to establish whether or not he is a zav? Why the word drachim? The more answers, hasam ha komash malan. The following is what is alluded to by the choice of the word drachim in that Mishnah. The darka, we dashed underlined once again, the darka, the michli yisera l'asili deziva, the darka the michli yisera l'asili deziva. It's the way of overeating, or michli yisera, extra eating, eating a lot to bring on the emission. And we mentioned before that, in fact, the emission may appear, but that will not result in his becoming tomei. It will not cause his defilement. It's the way of excess drinking to bring the onset of ziva. V'ha disnan esrog shava le'ilon b'shloisha drachim. The Mishnah here that's being cited has to do with laws pertaining to seder zroyim, agricultural laws, we'll say, dealing with tithes and laws of Shemitah, etc. So in that context, it says that the Esrog is similar to a tree in three drachim, listni dvarim. Why not state in three way, in three dvarim, three things, instead of saying three ways? Mishum deboinon misnesefa, because in that context it needs to teach uliyerek bederech echad. And the esrog has something in common with vegetables. Yerek is a term that appears in contrast to elon, to fruit trees. The esrog has something in common with vegetables in one area. Well, the Gemara asks, seifa nami nisni dovar. Why, in this seifa citation, does it not say that the esrog is similar to a yerek, but dovar echad? Why the choice of the word derech? The Gemara continues at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Hasam ha komash malon. There, the choice of the word derech conveys the following: the dark, the drocheha, or the darkei, the esro kierek. It's the way of the esrog in its development to be like the vegetable. Now, we didn't get into the details before when we were describing the laws of esrog and its similarity to trees. Rashi says that the esrog has laws that include orla, revai, and shvius. Orla being the prohibition of using the fruits in its first 3 years of fruit development. Revai is a law that regards fruits in the fourth year. Orla, once again, is a tree-related halacha, fruits from trees during the first 3 years of the tree's production. The fruits are prohibited. In the fourth year, they are redeemed, and the money is taken to Yerushalayim. Regarding the laws of Shemitah, the sabbatical year, fruits are established as being Kedusha Shvius as to when the blossoming, the Chanota, took place, as opposed to a vegetable whose identity or year association is based on when it is picked. With regard to a fruit, if it blossomed in the seventh year of the seven-year sabbatical cycle, though it's picked in the eighth year, that fruit will have the identity of Peiros Shvius, with all that that entails. And it'll be considered sabbatical year fruits. Not so with the case of vegetables that are identified by the time when they are picked. If they're picked in the seventh year, they're seventh year vegetables. If they're picked in the eighth year, they are non-Shemitah produce. In one way, we said the Esrog has a vegetable identity. And that has to do with establishing what tithe, which tithe you will separate when you harvest your Esrogim. There are different tithes depending on which year you are in. First, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year cycle, the Meiser Sheni tithe appears, along with, of course, the Truma and Meiser Rishon, but let's focus on the difference between the first, second, fourth, and fifth years. You'll see the Meiser Sheni tithe. That's a tithe where you bring the fruits to Yerushalayim, and you have also the option of redeeming them and bringing the money and to Yerushalayim and buying food there and eating it in Yerushalayim. The third and sixth year of the sabbatical year, of the sabbatical cycle, of the seven-year cycle, you have a different tithe, Meiser Oni. How do you determine which tithe you are going to separate? So when it comes to an Esrog, as opposed to other trees, when it comes to an Esrog, in order to determine the tithe, you look at when it is picked, just like a vegetable. When it comes to Shavuos, we said, there you look at the Esrog as a tree. So the Esrog has this, we'll say, split identity. So with regard to tithing, it's like a Yerek. You will establish the tithe by when it is picked, just like a vegetable. The Gemara at the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph tells us that the choice in the Seifa, that describing the Esrog as being like a Yerek, but Derech Echad, in one way, with regard to the issue of tithing, the following is what is being alluded to. We said, we read this already, Ma the Darke de Esrog Yerek, the way of the Esrog is like a Yerek. What do we mean by that? You might ask yourself, why is a vegetable and its tithe dependent on when it's picked and not when it blossoms? Ma yerek darkoi ligodel al kol mayim ubishas lekitoso isuro. A vegetable needs constant watering up till the end. Very different from a tree. A tree, when you notice the fruits reaching, let's say, a third of their development, you can rest assured that that tree has reached the total amount of water that will be necessary to enable the fruits to achieve maturation. Not so in the case of a vegetable. If you cut off the water from a vegetable when it reaches a third of its development, that's it, it's not going to develop anymore. If you cut off the water from a tree, once the fruits reach a third of their development, there's enough, let's say, nutrients within the tree system to enable the fruits to reach maturation. So there you have a major contrast between vegetable development versus fruit development. And as a result of that, when you want to establish what tithe should I separate? Is it a second year tithe or a third year tithe? Second year tithe would be a Meiser Sheni. Could be first year, third, let's say fourth year or fifth year, also be a Meiser Sheni year. Is it a Meiser Sheni tithe or is it a Meiser Oni tithe? So you just look at what year it is when you pick it. Because up till the picking, the vegetable needed the water for its development. It wasn't considered, we'll say, ready until you pick it. And up till that point, it was needing all water that was being provided for it. So that is the nature of vegetables. The Gemara continues, Af Esrog, Darkoi, Ligoda, Al Komayim, Mushas, the Kitosu Isuro, the way of the Esrog. And those who are familiar with Esrog cultivation know very well, it's a tree that is, we'll say, irrigation intensive. It needs a lot of watering. And as a result, it has this vegetable similarity, and hence, at the point, only at the point that you pick it, can you determine when it, what tithe you shall separate. V'hadisnan koy yesh bo drochim shovel lechayv yesh bo drochim shovel lebehema. A koy is a creature that, in halachic terms, is unclear. Is it a chaya, an undomesticated kosher variety animal, like a deer, with laws that are unique to a chaya? Or is it a domesticated kosher variety animal, like a cow, sheep, goat, with its respective halachas? Just to point out which halachas we're referring to, a chaya, an undomesticated kosher variety animal, when you slaughter it, its blood needs to be covered in dirt. That's called kisui hadam. When you slaughter a bird as well, that halacha applies. Not so when you slaughter a behema, a kosher variety domesticated animal. No kisui hadam. Another area unique to a chaya is what's called the chelev. The chelev of a chaya, chelev are... Often you find in English translations chelev being referred to as the forbidden fats. I'm not sure that they are, that chelev is always something that we would call fat. Oftentimes you would refer to it as a certain membrane that appears surrounding certain organs. There's a whole area of knowledge that one needs to study on in practical terms in order to know and understand the halachas of chelev, where chelev is found in the body of animals. But interestingly, chelev in a chaya is permitted. Chelev in a behema is forbidden, and strictly forbidden. Carrying with it, for one who eats it deliberately, the penalty of kores. So the source that the Gemara is presenting here regarding the koi, dubious creature, doubtful creature, how to categorize it. So this, it says that there are druchim, that it's like a chaya. You need to cover its blood when slaughtering it. V'yesh bo druchim shovel behema, the chelev in it is forbidden. V'yesh bo druchim shovel chaya ulebehema, there are aspects of the koi that you find common to both chaya behema, meaning the koi needs to be slaughtered if you want to eat it. V'yesh bo, just like a chaya and behema. V'yesh bo drachim shein shovel lo lechayv v'lo lebehema. Rashi explains this has to do with aspects of procreation, meaning you cannot mate a koi with a behema, nor can you mate it with a chaya. So it's not, because that would be a problem of we'll call it a suffix problem, or a problem of kilayim, of mixing different breeds, different categories, which is forbidden. So that the kai, being that you can't mate it with a chaya nor a behema, shows you in this area it's not like either a chaya or a behema. Nisne dvarim, why not in this source use the word dvarim? Simply saying that the kai has dvarim that are, make it similar to a chaya, etc. and so forth. Vesuha disnan, a fifth source. It says, Zu achas min hadrochim sheshavu gitei noshim leshichurei avodim. Shichur avodim is a reference to documents through which a slave is set free. There are halachas that pertain, that are common to divorce documents of a woman, where a woman is granted her independence, and the freedom of slaves. We don't have to get into the details. All that you have to notice as far as this source is concerned is that the word drachim is used. Nisni dvorim. Why not say zu achas min hadvorim? This is one of the areas. The Rashi tells you it's a reference to the an agent who brings these documents from abroad to Israel, so he has a special declaration that he must make, but we don't have to get into details. That is featured at the beginning of Maseches Gittin. Nevertheless, the word drachim is chosen. Nisni dvorim, why not use the word dvorim? So the Gemara answers. This answer will apply to everything that we've said till now. Elo kol hecha de'ika plukta. Wherever you have distinctions that are made. Toni drachim, the word drachim will be used. In our Mishnah, for example, there are three methods in which a woman is acquired, a bond is established, to the exclusion of something else that doesn't work. So you see, plukta, a contrast. The issue of the zav, we say these are the ways in which a person will not be a zav, in contrast with another phenomenon where he will be a zav. There are, and in each case, you see, in each one of the topics, you see contrasts that could be made. So in situations like that, so the word drachim is used. V'chol hecha d'leka plukta, and where there is you're dealing with a topic in which there's no distinction that is alluded to or that's made, toni dvorim, the word dvorim appears. Daiko nami, by careful reading of the Tanaic sources, you can in fact see this. The Katoni Seifa, now this is a reference to the issue of the Esrog. It says in the Seifa, Rebbe Lazaro, Seifa meaning the continuation of the Tanaic source we read before, it says, Rebbe Lazar Omer, Esrog Shavalilon, L'chol Dovar. Rebbe Lazar's opinion with regard to the Esrog is that in all aspects it's like a tree, even with regard to the matters of tithing. So as far as Lozer is concerned, the esrog is a straightforward fruit from a fruit tree with regard to all matters, no distinction. Hence the word davar is used, shma mina. So this is conclusive. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.